Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hey, what's happening? Jason Marsden here, aka Max Goof. And you're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm AK.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast, produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Make sure you check out our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts.
See, we also have a website, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where you can check out any streaming services that you're hoping to find, merchandise, podcasts. All the above. Just go check it out.
Yes. And we do have a Taylor Swift shirt since we're talking about her this Ooh. Week. And we have a sale going on this week. So check that out. It's zombie version of Taylor Swift from her Reputation era. Nice. Yeah. So make sure you check it out.
Yes. Oh, goodness gracious. Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And hello, Swifties. If you are not normally Pixie yes. Dusters, but you Welcome. Have joined because of the Swiftiness. Welcome, Swifties.
Welcome. Yes, you're in friendly territory. I promise.
Yes, you're in friendly territory. We do not break down.
Yeah.
That's not the word I want.
No.
Words are hard. Discriminate? It's early. No. don't know. No. Anywho, whatever. We're talking Taylor Swift.
Anyway, yeah, we're going to be doing the Eras Tour today. Officially Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, Taylor's version, if you're looking for it on Disney Plus. That's the title. This is another concert film, which is just like it sounds like it's the Eras Tour. This is not like
Taylor's version
discussion. Taylor's version. This is not like last week where we get some insight. The only thing we get is whenever Taylor stops and talks. This is literally they filmed the concert and then they put it on streaming.
Do they tell us which concert this is?
This,
like, which location?
Yes, this is in Los Angeles. Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
This is the end of, I believe, the U.S. portion of the tour. So I think these were her last nights in the U.S. And then she took a break. Okay. And then she went overseas, I believe, if I'm remembering right. This was like a minute ago, so.
I don't know. Forgive this me. Tour took like over a year, it felt like.
Oh, no, it was like 2 years. Because it started in 23 and at the beginning of 23 ended in December of 24. So.
Dang.
Yeah. She didn't take very many breaks in there either. She's crazy.
How is she alive? I'd be dead.
I don't know. I made me tired just being there. And I wasn't doing all that work she was doing. So I don't know.
Good gravy.
So the Disney Plus version is the most complete edition of the concert film that's available for streaming. It runs approximately 3.5 hours long and is an extended cut compared to the theatrical release. So if you saw it in theaters, this is longer. But if you saw it in theaters, you probably already watched it on Disney Plus, let's be honest. But just in case you didn't know. So this was directed by Sam Wrench. Oh, there you go. No idea who he is.
Nope.
And it has exclusive songs, bonus content. So the Disney Plus release is designated Taylor's version because it includes songs that were left out of the initial theatrical cut. So it's cute that they did that, you know, Taylor's version. And the main set list features the full performances that were, I think, cut from the original, including Cardigan, which wasn't in the theatrical version at all. Three songs were added back in Wildest Dreams, The Archer, and Long Live. And it also includes 4 acoustic surprise songs that are presented as an acoustic collection. It's in the extras section if you're looking for it on Disney Plus. All right. So we were kind of talking about this. So Taylor Swift is going to be releasing even more on Disney Plus after we release this episode. So she's going to have Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, the End of an Era docuseries, which is a 6-episode docuseries chronicling the development, impact, and inner workings of the tour, featuring never before seen insights. And it will come out in December of this year. So next month. And then Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, the final show concert film, is a brand new concert film recorded at the very last show in Vancouver. This one will have the Tortured Poets Department era, which was added after the original concert film was shot. Because she threw that in when she started like overseas. And this also will come out sometime in December as well. And the initial Eras Tour, this one that we're talking about, broke records to become the number one music film ever on Disney Plus, which is very cool, but also Disney Plus is not that old. So, I mean, it's not like she had a lot of competition on Disney Plus, just saying, you know, but very cool for you, Taylor. Good job.
But let's be real, it's Taylor Swift. No one else is going to break these records.
Yeah, I don't anticipate this will ever change. Yeah,
I don't. I mean, it's going to be like 30 years. It's going to be like 30 years down the line when someone else comes along that's as big as Taylor. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like before Taylor, it was either like who would have been like the big, like Prince or Michael?
Michael Jackson?
Like it would have been like before her, it was Michael.
Probably.
As like the top performer of all time. Yeah. So I feel like she is now our generation's Michael, who's going to be here for generations to come until she decides to slow down, which I don't
take a break.
Mm-hmm. I'm pray she, like, after they get, when they get married, that she takes some time off. Like, just enjoy life a little bit, please. She should
too. Like, Taylor.
Can you just enjoy life with Travis for a while? Like, Travis needs to retire because he's starting to break apart.
Yes.
He's getting old for a tight end. Mm-hmm. He needs to retire. She needs to, like, just take a break. And they need to enjoy mm-hmm. life together. You have enough yes. money. You'll be fine.
She knows. Yeah. I guarantee well, she knows she
can do that. Between both of them, he got a huge contract for his podcast. Yeah.
He's not struggling for money. That's true.
No, neither of them are.
Nope. All right. So I pulled up some just general stuff about the Eras Tour. Mm-hmm. So it is one of the most culturally and financially significant tours in music history. Mm-hmm. The tour is designed as a career-spanning journey through her, at the time, 11 studio albums, which she refers to as the Eras. And it's got different costumes, staging, choreography, all sorts of stuff going on during the show. So the eras that were included in the set list, it starts with Lover, then Fearless, Evermore, Reputation, Speak Now, Red, Folklore, 1989, The Tortured Poets Department, which was added in May 24. And then there's always an acoustic set.
Acoustic set? Where are you getting acoustic?
I can't do this.
Words are hard.
Oh my god. Okay. It includes surprise songs. And then Midnight's ends the show. Ends the Eras Tour. Oh my gosh. So it's famously long, running over 3.5 hours, not including opening acts. And there's over 40 songs included in the set list. And then the surprise songs are, there's always two of them each night, one on a guitar and one on piano. So sometimes there's also, like, some of them she's never performed live. So that was always kind of cool because you never knew. Yes.
What? Why is her first album not on this list?
So that was a lot of argument. I saw this on Reddit when I was looking up.
What the hey?
People are very salty about this. So... Yeah. Here's what I think. Here's what I really think it was. Although I can't totally explain it because I don't obviously know what her thinking was. But she spent more time on albums that she had not toured. So Lover, Evermore, Folklore, Midnights. Those were albums that had not been a part of a tour at all.
I don't care. Her first album is a big part of her career. She should at least had one or two songs.
She did. Those would pop up during the surprise songs.
But like Teardrops on My Guitar literally put her on the freaking map.
I know she, but she, I think because the tour, it was already so long. I don't know why she didn't cut some of the other stuff. I don't know what her logic was. For it, I don't know, or why she didn't always have a surprise song debut, huh?
I'm a little salty, Taylor.
A lot of people were kind of salty about it. I didn't care.
That was the first album. That was our, like, we started there with her. I feel like probably the people who are salty are the ones who were there since the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. No. I mean, I get it. I get the saltiness.
But it was also her big country. Like that was a country album, and and she slowly moved away from it.
Yeah, but yeah, she would do those as part of the surprise songs, but not every night. So okay, it just depends.
As she like would do them every once in a while.
Yeah, she did. Got it. Got they it. Were included.
Okay, sorry, I got it out.
The stamina. What? she took like no breaks. I mean, she basically it was just her performing, and then she would disappear because she had to change her outfit.
Just yeah, I'd like, see that, and they do like some sort of something.
They always did something.
Pop out with an outfit.
Yeah, but she changed quickly. It's not like she was back there for
a long time.
It was just a couple minutes, and you're just like, girl, you can take an intermission. I'll sit here for 10 minutes if you need to go sit down. No, she was good. Just came right back out.
She's in better shape than us.
Oh, yeah. I read somewhere that to prep for this, she would run on her treadmill and sing the entire set list to get like ready for it. And I'm just like, that's a lot of commitment. Good for you.
You got to give her props because she did not lip sync. And I know a lot of bands like from our era from when we were teenagers, yeah. They would lip sync while they danced and they got caught.
Yeah, while you're doing other stuff. Yeah. I know some people, you know, they were like, oh, she didn't really dance a whole lot. I'm like, number one, Taylor is not a dancer.
No, she's
not. Have you
not.
Seen her? She's not a dancer.
No.
That's okay.
Don't make her dance.
She doesn't have to dance. And you know what? She did her cutesy little things that she could do on the stage. Mm-hmm. And also, I would rather just have her actually perform. I don't need to see her doing like Britney Spears stuff. That's a different vibe. It's cool. I don't care.
Yeah, we're good. She's,
it's a different person, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay, so the tour started March 17th, 2023, ended December 8th, 2024, with minimal breaks in between those time frames.
All right.
It went over 5 continents, North America, South America, Asia, Australia, and Europe. Multiple stops. And it became one of the highest grossing concert tours of all time, earning over $2 billion in box office revenue.
Dear Lord.
Which is insane. So it required over 90 trucks to move everything. And we saw them because I don't remember how we ended up on that side of the stadium, but we were like, holy crap. There are so many semis here. There's like so many trucks. It was crazy. But I mean, if you look at the stage, I mean, it was insane. Everything they had to move.
Did anything tell you how long it took to like, oh yeah, you do have setup and teardown.
Okay. I have it somewhere. Yeah.
Okay.
So the stage itself featured 130-foot runway or catwalk. The stage runs the full width of whatever stadium it's in. And has hydraulic trapdoors, a B stage. It's crazy when you look at it. And there's hundreds of crew members, including stagehands, sound, lighting, automation, riggers, the truck drivers, obviously, all of them that have to be ready to go. And it takes about 3 days per city to set it up.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. They, like, before she was on stage, everybody was in there in the stadium, wherever it was. Getting everything set up. And then it would take them less than 24 hours to take it down. But basically, the crew just worked through the night, get everything loaded back on the trucks, and then start again. And it's even crazier when you read about the Europe version, because they had to get it on like freighters. And, you know, there's a lot more involved than it was in the U.S.
There's no storms going on in the sea.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. So, yeah, it's basically a giant theatrical set.
How does the teardown take less time?
I mean, obviously I've never taken down a stage, but it always seems like taking things apart is a lot quicker than setting it up. Mm. Because when you're setting it up, you got to make sure everything is in the exact right place. Make sure it's working. Do all your checks on it, right? But when you're taking it down, you're just like, boom, in the truck, you know, it's a lot faster. And this is just for me doing conventions. Taking it down, you're just like, boom, 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 throw it in boxes. Setting it up, you know, you got to take your time, check and see you got everything out. Yeah, it's the whole thing. That's what I kind of, in my mind, don't like it too. So there were giant LED walls and floors. The main stage features a giant high-resolution LED video wall and an LED video floor, which allows the entire stage to become a visual canvas. So they made it to like a snake pit for a Reputation. There were flower fields. There was a pool of water, mm-hmm. which she dove into.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When that first came out, yeah, everyone was just like, that's a really cool effect. I mean, yeah. And that gave her a minute to like, you know, get under stage, change, and probably, you know, get some water, hopefully. While she was down there. There was projection mapping, and then you got a wristband. So you were given an LED wristband that was synced to the lighting. So, you know, everybody's wristband would change throughout the show, depending on what was going on. Oh. So it made it very cool when you're sitting in there and looking around. It was very cool. And then, yeah, seeing it on the, you know, the actual film, it was awesome to see the colors like from far away too and see how it changed. So there's trapdoors and lifts. The stage and the 130-foot runway are filled with hydraulic trapdoors, high-speed lifts, and they're used for the dramatic entrances, exits, and then to raise and lower Taylor and her dancers. I love that little bit. I mean, it's just like one little thing that made it visually interesting versus her just walking on a stage. We already talked about the dive. And of course she dove into like a big, like inflatable like raft thing. So I know there was a big thing when no one, they're trying to all figure it out and everyone's trying to like film it and zoom in and see. And I'm like, obviously she's diving into like
some sort of safety thing.
Yes. Yeah. And she knows exactly where to stand and how to dive into it. So,
you know, she practices like 1,000 times before she did tours.
They're not going to let Taylor Swift do that and have something go wrong. Trust me.
Yeah.
No, no. And then each era had its own special effects, which might include pyrotechnics and flames for Reputation or like confetti cannons. So that was always fun that it was kind of fitting the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And she had more than 16 outfits that she changed into. Which is just
that is a lot.
I want to just see the outfits to see how she got them on and off. Like, where's the zipper at? You know, all that. I'm just like, I know she, every time she went down there, she probably like 5 people stripping her and putting her in the new stuff. But
yeah.
I want to just see how the costumes were made personally. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And they use like really fancy speakers, I guess. Advanced line array speaker systems so that it can project sound evenly over large difference. Distances. I cannot talk today. But basically, because they're going to be in stadiums, they wanted to make sure there wasn't like echoing and it was really balanced. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I mean, I've, you know, been to a lot of shows. There wasn't echoing in this concert and I didn't really think about it at the time. But yeah, they did a really good job with the sound. Yeah. Considering how big it was. And the single night with the largest official attendance was in Melbourne, Australia. So on February 16, 24, night one, they had 96,000 attendees.
Don't forget the six. 96,006.
That's true. Those extra 6 people just over the 96.
Don't disclude those six people.
These 6 people do matter. That's true. So that's the highest reported attendance for any single night. Wow. And I don't remember if it was Australia, what show it was, but there was one someplace in Europe where behind the stadium or by the stadium, they had like a big hill. And there were like thousands and thousands of fans camped on the hill listening to the show. So I don't know how many actually were like at that one. But I don't remember where it was.
I'll look while you keep going.
Okay. So over the 3 nights in Australia, there were 288,000 people that came to the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And U.S. stadiums broke their own attendance records with figures between 70 and 73,000. I guess, like, on average.
Munich.
Okay, that's...
Germany.
Yeah. I almost said Germany, but I was like, I don't know if that's right. But I remember Taylor thought that was very cool, too. You know, that there were just people out there listening, so... So the night I went was the third night in Tampa. It was April 15th, 23.
Did you go to all three?
Hmm?
Did you go to all three?
No, I went to the third night. No.
You went to the
Because it was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I would have been working.
Some people go to like all of the night, like got tickets for every single night.
Working, number one, and I don't live in Tampa. So we went to one night. but it was the final final show in Tampa. It was sold out. And a surprise guest was Aaron Dessner. So he came out. He came out the night before, too. But he came out and they did Mad Woman together. He played the piano.
Okay.
And they sang that together. And I think that was the first time Mad Woman had been performed live, if I remember right. So I think that was like.
Oh, okay. That was big.
Yeah. I think I remember that. Yeah. And then the second song we got that night on guitar was Mean, which is the first time she had performed that since like, I don't know, like 2018 or something. Like it'd been a while since she had performed that one, which I was happy with that because I like that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. No complaints there. Oh, yeah. Here we go. I did have it. The first live performance of Mean since 2018.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, there were 69,131 attendees that night. There's just a lot of people. The traffic was insane.
Yeah. Here's my question of the day. How long did it take you to get out of that stadium and on the way home? And how bad was I-4 on your way home?
So when we went to the stadium initially, we left super early and got there super early. So we parked in handicap parking right outside the stadium. So we were right there.
Oh, nice.
And we walked to Panera, and everybody else was at Panera, all the Swifties. Panera was very overwhelmed. There was no seating available. So we sat under a tree in the parking lot and ate our food.
Okay.
And then walked back. Was it on the way? I think it was on the way. There were some religious folks outside of the concert sharing, you know, the good word. And Robbie engaged with one of them. And I was like, I really just want to go get food. I don't want to deal with it. But yeah,
were they you're going to go to hell if you don't accept Jesus people?
Yeah, that was the vibe. She was really nice, but she didn't get that Robbie was like really like egging her on with it. And I was like, I really just want to go get food. So yeah, it wasn't like
crazy. Get out of my church. That's not who we are.
Yeah, and I accept that they were their own special crazy. But yeah, they were also
That's not true of what we believe. It's the crazies who take it to a whole different freaking level. I feel like when they do that, God's just like, are you freaking kidding me right now? Can you like
a lot?
What did I tell you? Like, it's love everyone. That's not loving them.
And my whole thing is too, I'm like, you're gonna do this at a Taylor Swift concert? Like, I don't think we're the people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
not that you should do this anywhere, but I can see it more like you got a Lil Wayne concert, like, you know.
You know why they're doing it, I guess, right? They're doing it there because, number one, so many people have put Taylor Swift as an idol, which I do think is not good when you put a celebrity as, like, the person you practically worship. So there's that. Like, lots of people worship Taylor. I would not be surprised if someone has created a Taylor Swift church. Second, the reason they're also doing that, probably doing it there, is because Taylor has been vocal about not believing in God. So they believe that because Taylor said it that way, she's influenced other people to not believe in God. Okay. So they're trying there to save them. It's not how you do it.
Okay. Well, it was definitely interesting.
Makes me angry. I remember seeing them when I was living in Florida. It's probably the same people, honestly. I would see them in Clearwater when I'd go to the beach.
Yeah.
Like, would you guys just know? And it's probably, I hate to say this, but it's probably students from Clearwater College, which is like in
Oh, Uber. They were young.
Clearwater College is a uber Christian. Like, girls can't go on the beach with their bathing suits. Like, if there's other men with bathing suits, like, they can't see bare chests. Like, it's crazy town.
Okay, well, it could just very well have been them, honestly. Yeah. We're close enough, so, yeah. Well, anyway, so that was interesting. And then, if I recall, we went back and sat in the car for a while, and, because it was hot.
How many hours were you there early? Like, 6, 7?
No.
10? No.
Probably, like, 2, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But I probably prepaid. No. Did I prepay for parking? I don't remember. It would seem like something I would do would prepay. Yeah. And then we knew there'd be limited like handicap spots. So we wanted to make sure we got there early. But, you know, to get back there, it was, you know, like a bit of a struggle because it was not well laid out for having that big of a stadium there. And then, but it was probably like 2 hours maybe. It wasn't that long.
Was it the football stadium?
It's the Raymond James.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Stadium. Raymond James. Got it.
Yeah. And when we went to get in, you know, there's like obviously 69,000 people there. There were very long lines for the merch, but we skipped that. And we just were like, we're going to go inside and find our seats. And then we figured out where we were sitting. And then we went and got some drinks and like water because it was hot.
Yeah.
Because it's April. And then waited for the concert. And then
96,000 people in one or 69,000 people in one spot.
It's a lot of people. Yeah.
A lot of people. You probably lost like 10 pounds sweating.
It was very hot. I mean, once the sun went down, it was a lot better. But okay. Yeah, it was toasty. And my favorite part about any of the Florida shows is watching Taylor's very straight hair slowly get poofier and poofier through the night. I'm just like, Tay, you can't fight the humidity here.
Tay, sorry, you have to go back to your curls. Sorry.
Yeah, you're not going to fight it with, I don't care how much hairspray you use, it's not going to stay today.
There is no product that's going to save your hair in Florida.
No. Nope. No. But yeah, to leave, I mean, we didn't rush, right? So, concert ends, everyone's getting up, and we're like, well, we'll just wait a minute. We're going to slowly walk out. We'll glance at the merch tables, but they still had lines, and I was like, I'm not doing all that. Yeah, so for us, I mean, it was probably like an hour maybe to get like away from the stadium and get to the highway and get home. Okay. But it wasn't that bad.
That's good.
Realistically. Yeah.
An hour is not bad. I thought it was going to take like two or three.
Well, I think it helped because we were parked so close.
Yeah.
So to get out was a lot easier for us.
Yeah, probably because you're in the handicap area. Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
But we don't rush. So.
So what was like your favorite part of everything?
It's very overwhelming. Like even trying to remember all of it. It was like 3 hours of just music. So yeah, I mean, the stage was very cool. The visuals were very cool. I liked the way she entered, you know, at the very beginning, like these big, like, you probably saw it, but
yeah,
I don't know what they were like.
Yeah.
Tapestry things. That was a cool way to enter. But I mean, I mean, Reputation is my favorite album probably. So I was really excited when that section came on.
That does not surprise me.
I like the surprise songs because you don't know what's going to happen. And the fact that we had a special guest, I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Cause I don't know. Everybody gets that, you know? And I liked when she did like Willow because it's very witchy and the vibes were cool with little orbs and stuff. I remember that. I liked all the songs she performed. I didn't really have like specifics that I was complaining about. When she did the one that sticks out to me, Marjorie off of Evernore, that's about her grandmother. And that was the only song the whole night that I was just like, sad Taylor. this is ruining my vibe, Taylor. But I really like the song, so I'm glad she performs that, you know, as part of her set list. That was the only one that I was kind of like, ooh, boy. But, you know, like, I'm not, again, there were plenty of people in very sparkly outfits and sparkly boots and cowboy hats and lots of things that I did not do. And there's stuff that they would scream out during the songs that apparently is like a thing to do. I did not know that because, for one, I hadn't been any other concerts. I mean, yeah. And I just like the little bracelet thing. I was like, this is pretty cool. Like watching them all light up and stuff, you know, I'm just digging the vibe generally.
Nice. But,
yeah. I liked all of it. And then I liked when we had like, I know she didn't get a break, but when we had the little set like in between the eras, I was like, I'm going to sit down for a minute. It's been hot. I've been standing for a while, you know.
How far up were you?
Because
I'm assuming you weren't on the floor.
No. Yeah, because I bought my tickets like a week before we went because I couldn't get them the first round. So there was this was with all the Ticketmaster stuff. But we weren't too far back. We were like there was the floor and then we were like the next section up, I think.
Oh, okay.
And we
that's
were in
good.
The middle. So it was nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, the Ticketmaster thing, I couldn't get the first time when I looked at it. So I'm like, oh, she's gonna be in Tampa. I couldn't get tickets. And then, you know, everybody
broke the internet
mad.
How many times?
Yeah. And all the Swifties got mad and Taylor got mad. And then they went back to re-release tickets. And then I was able to get in line. And I was just like, they weren't like overly expensive. Because I didn't get them from a reseller. I got them from Ticketmaster. So I was just like, we'll do it. We'll go to Tampa. But I would not have paid some of the money, I think some of those people paid for those tickets. Yeah, I would not have done that.
Sorry, Taylor, you're not worth that much money.
I there's not really a concert I would do that. Just, no. Yeah. I mean, you have to have a boundary someplace.
I mean, they're just people. They're entertainers, and yes, they give us, but they're people. Like, there's no reason to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to meet a person.
Or see a person.
Especially nowadays when they film everything and put it on TV for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's my thing, too. Like, especially with this last album that came out. She had, like, 8,000 different variants of it, whatever. And I know people were complaining. They're like, oh, she's just money hungry. Yeah, she's just trying to grab everyone's money. She's putting all these variants. I'm like, first of all, you don't have to buy it. You know how many I bought? None.
One.
I waited until it was streaming. And then she put out some, like, acoustic version of it. And everyone's like, oh, I got to buy it. And I'm like, you know she's going to put that on streaming in, like, within a month. Probably. And that's exactly what she did. I'm just like, I just wait. I have no way to play physical media, so I'm not going to buy it. As much as I honestly miss CDs and all that. I mean, I do miss the feeling of I'm going to pick this CD and I'm going to listen to this CD instead of streaming, because I think streaming does kind of ruin it. But I'm not going to like go out of my way to buy a CD player and all that. Because,
well, do they even have them anymore?
Yeah, you can buy them. I've seen them at Best Buy and stuff. Probably Amazon, I'm sure, has them.
I bet they finally got rid of the skip issue when we're walking around.
You know, but that just added to it. You know, you buy that stupid...
Oh, I know. I'm being facetious.
Non-skip Walkman. And it never worked.
And it never worked.
Never worked. Or like the saddest thing would be like I'd burn my little mix CD and then it wouldn't burn right. And then I'm just like, this is so terrible. Now I got to start all over again.
I still have all my mix CDs.
I've not gotten rid of any of my physical media. So I have CDs. Yep. I have no way to play my CDs, but I have them. So
they do have CD players that you can buy, but
they're
with Bluetooth.
I mean, people are still buying.
What's that nonsense?
I mean, Bluetooth. People buy the vinyls, they buy the CDs.
Yeah, vinyls have came back.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's been buying vinyls for a long time.
Yeah.
There's a vintage Bluetooth CD player.
Vintage.
It looks like a record player, but you put a CD in and it.
Okay.
People.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to stick with the way I don't really prefer, but is easier, and have it on my phone.
Yeah.
And stream it.
So Pixie Dust, back to the Eras Tour. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I only got through maybe 40 minutes of it. And it's not because it wasn't good. It's not because I wasn't enjoying it. It was because it's too much for me. Mm-hmm. There is too much going on. Mm-hmm. It's too just... Anxiety filled for me. So I like to listen to the music, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, which is fair. Yeah. You know, not everybody wants to be there with all the stuff going on.
Yeah, too many lights, things going on. Like, I'm old. I just can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I could do it back in the day. Like in college, I went to concerts at Disney World and over in Tampa, and I loved every second of it. But now I can't do it anymore. I am old.
Yeah. I still like going to concerts, but let me tell you, because Robbie and I talked about this years ago. We went to, was it Tampa? It might have actually been, no. I don't remember where we went. If it was Tampa, I want to say it may have been Tampa. Anyway, we went and T.I. was performing. Okay. T.I. and.
Oh, I know who he is.
I don't remember who else. And then Lil Wayne. Now, first of all, I don't like Lil Wayne.
I don't either.
I'm sorry if you like Lil Wayne. I don't like Lil Wayne. And Robbie knows this. So he didn't tell me Lil Wayne was going to be there. He said, we're going to go see T.I. Going to go see T.I. And I said, okay, we got all the way to Tampa. We drove to Tampa. And I'm like, why does it say Lil Wayne on the sign? Why does it say he's the headliner? And he just laughed. And I was like, you're the worst. I am so upset right now. Anyway, but when we went to that concert, we got lawn tickets. Lawn tickets. You know, where you got to show up, scout your little spot out, and then you're just on the lawn.
No, thank you.
I do not do that anymore. I will. That is the option. Worst. I am buying. My butt is going to be in a seat. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at the map even, and I'm going to be like, what kind of seats are they? Like, if I sit closer, are they folding chairs? I don't want to do that. I want a seat.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're at now with shows. And then, you know, Robbie's got his neck problems and stuff. And I'm like, okay, let's sit and look at the map. Okay. Which seat would be better for you for sitting? Which seat do you prefer? And then we'll pick out the seats together. That's how we do it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I'm not.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm not doing. Yeah. But the lawn is off limits. I am not doing that.
Yeah.
Any longer. My lawn days are over for concerts.
Yeah. I don't remember. We didn't have seats for the concert we did in Tampa. It was outdoors. Wasn't the stadium. I think it was all lawn. Like, and you just.
No, I've done that.
And yeah, it was a country concert, though. So it wasn't. It was Brad Paisley. And so everyone was like just drunk. Drunken in cowboy boots, shorts, all the things, hats, and drunk. And it was hilarious. I was there with I was there for free with the radio station that Holly was working for. She brought me with her as her plus one. It was Brad Paisley, the not so famous yet, Blake Shelton, who was not great in concert. I hate to tell you people, he's not great. I don't know why you guys call him the king of country. It's a problem.
Oh boy.
Eden something. They were a local or they were like a small band. I don't even think they ever got big. And there's one other one that was big and I can't remember his name. Jared Neiman, maybe. Yeah. But Paisley, we were there for Paisley and Paisley was amazing.
Gotcha.
I love Paisley.
Yeah. Like there's always one artist you're like really into and the rest you're like, it's okay.
And then like I did Night of Joy at Disney with the Christian concerts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me like that Disney's never like Disney's never been neutral. Disney has always been very like leftist and they don't do anything with that. I'm like, guys, do you not remember Night of Joy? Do you not remember like Christian concerts all over the place? Like you need to chill. Like I've been to multiple. I saw Skillet. I saw Flyleaf. I saw all the Christian artists.
It's definitely at a Disney. Thing. They still do that.
It's just not in the parks anymore.
For the Candlelight Processional, I don't know all these people, but there's at least two Christian artists doing...
The Candlelight Processional is very Christian, and people, like, they just think it's...
Yeah, despite the theme of it, they're also bringing in Christian artists to do it. I mean, like, hello, so...
Well, everyone sees, like, the media that they're putting out. So with some of the LGBTQ plus, I think I got all the acronyms right. I'm sorry if I missed something. Happening in Disney Plus, they think that that's all they are and that they don't, that they're, that's their side and they're not neutral. I'm like, no, 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 no. They are neutral. They do things on both sides. They try to please everybody. You need to chill. All you're seeing is what you want to see that you're mad about. Yes, we might not, I might not agree with some of the stuff they're doing because I think they're beating a dead horse with it instead of doing it right. But I think they're, that's a whole different conversation. But they do have other things. Like, they've been doing the professional for decades. Like, it's hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
Night of Joy still happens. It just doesn't happen at the parks anymore. It happens at a different venue. Like, I need you to chill.
I agree.
People make me angry. Especially church people. They're the worst. And I am one of, I said it last night. I was at the bookstore last night and somebody was, one of the high schoolers said like at one of the coffee shops he used to work at, these specific religious people. It wasn't like Christians. It was like some sort of Orthodox. He's like, they'd always come in and actually steal his tip jar.
That's nice. So like
all the tips that were in the jar would be gone.
That's nice.
And I'm like, and then we started talking about like church people on serving because they never tip. And I said, Alan, I'm like, church people are the absolute worst. And Bailey, my high schooler, who knows that I am a devout Christian, looks at me and she gives me a look. I'm like, I know who I am, but I know what my people are like. And they're dumb. like, I'm not. I know what's happening. Everybody. It's not all of us. But they're.
But the, I've heard some things. The tipping thing. The first time I ever saw a post where they left like a Jesus bill as the tip. Yes. And I'm like, how do you think that's appropriate? You
know, it's not.
And I mean, to be honest with you, this is always the joke in pharmacy on a Sunday when you're working, you know, like mm-hmm. your CVS, your Walgreens, those people that come in after church are the meanest, most impatient people. And you're just like, shouldn't you just work this out? Like, didn't you just do this morning? Where's your peace from the sermon? Like, why are you coming in here yelling at me? Yeah. And
I just, no judgment. They're just mad. You know what? They just mad because the pastor called them out on their crap and they're taking it out on someone else.
Yeah. But yeah, I will say some of those internet trolls are some of the, like, you know, Christian sprouting people. And I'm like, you don't seem very, like,
they're not Christian. Like, honestly, when they do that, I'm looking at you. I'm like, you're not a Christian. You are a hypocrite. No. You are a hypocrite. This is not how this works. Like, you do not come on here and spew hatred. Like, that's not what he tells us to do. Like, literally, if you read, even if you don't believe in the Bible, there is a section in it that says, these are the two greatest commandments to follow. Mm-hmm. Love your God with all your heart and soul and love others. Doesn't say love Christians. Doesn't say love the same people as you. Doesn't say love the same people of skin color as you. And I'm not just talking to white people. I'm talking to all color people because there are racist other races as well.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, they make me so mad. I'm like, you are a hypocrite because you people tell us not to talk to you a certain way, but you're going to talk to us the same way. No.
I agree. Yeah. People are crazy.
It's love everyone. It even says to pray for your enemies in the book. Like,
they don't do that.
Can you read, please? Stop looking at Old Testament. That's Old Testament God.
Yeah.
He broke the veil. There's you got to read the middle. You got to know, like, it's changed.
It's crazy to me. I don't know.
I know.
People are special. Well, let me ask you, since we got off topic.
We did. My husband's why are you not done?
did you listen to any of the new album for her? Have you listened to any of that?
Showgirl?
Yeah.
No, but I've heard about a specific song.
Ooh, which song did you hear about?
I heard about Wood.
Wait, I might know which one it is, actually.
I heard about Wood.
That song, good Lord. When I heard it, I was like, Taylor. I was like, what did she just say? Let's back.
Taylor, that song should have just been between you and Travis. We did not need that song.
You should look at her. Who was she talking? I think Jimmy Fallon. I think it was her interview with Jimmy Fallon, where she's like, it started off. She's talking about the way she's writing the song. She's like, you know, I just had this like superstition thought, and it started off very innocent and fun. And she literally looks at him, and she goes, I don't know what happened. And I thought that was the best answer ever. Well,
was really fun was watching Jason Kelsey ask Travis Kelsey about it.
That
have you seen that clip?
Conversation.
Oh my gosh. The fact that
he's like, I'm a Japanese maple or whatever. I'm like, this has gone off the rails now.
It's so off the rails.
It's so funny.
I have not listened to the album yet, but I have heard about the song.
None of the songs are like that level.
Well, I mean, just the name of her album of Life of a Showgirl and the front cover. I'm like, I feel like this is not a teenage appropriate album.
It's not. Like, obviously songs like What Are, that's not the only one that has some stuff that I'm like, you know,
my friend Heather told me that there's like a couple that she's like, my daughter's not allowed to listen to Wood and like one or two others.
Yeah. Like you can listen. She puts out a censored version where she changes lyrics. So that is the version I would listen to with your younger children. Because that made me nervous too. Like even at the tour, like she drops some F-bombs and she's going to do that while she's singing her songs. And I'm like, there's like a 12-year-old girl over there. I was like, I don't know if this is totally appropriate, but yeah, some of the songs are not. But the people are mad because they thought the vibe of the album would be different. But I think people are also mad because we had the Tortured Poets Department, which I like.
I didn't listen to it yet.
It's very long. There's a lot of songs. I like it, but it is very. Taylor was very depressed and felt the need to, like, it was catharsis for her, whatever, to put this album out. And she was going through it, okay? And it's if you want to sit and you're like, I'm in it.
This was before Travis, right?
Right around, because she has one song, like, So High School, that's clearly about him. Okay. So it's, like, right
But a lot
right
of the songs she probably wrote before.
Before, yes.
Yeah.
And then you went to this album, and she's Happy Taylor. And there are some fans who like it when Taylor is upset and she's sad, because she writes very, you know, like, poetic songs about her feelings.
Well, then just listen to those albums. You don't have to listen to them.
That's what I'm saying. I like this because, you know what? I'm not miserable.
I don't want to be miserable.
You know, I like this. It's a Happy Taylor. And I was hoping, I happened to be up at midnight because we were prepping for a con. And then I was literally like trying to fall asleep. And I went on Instagram and Taylor was like, the album's out. And I was like, oh my God, it's after midnight. And I'm still up. And I'm like, I'm not listening to this because I'm exhausted. I'm going to sleep. But I was like, I want to hear the vibe. So I'm going to just kind of like scroll through. And I was like, oh, good. It's Happy. It's Happy Taylor. You know, I like a Happy Taylor, you know,
and everybody goes through seasons. So
yes.
And if you are a music lover, you have to have music for all the different seasons. When we were teenagers and angsty and all the things, that's why we loved punk rock. We had angsty music. But in college, I needed something different. And when I was depressed because I couldn't find a man because they were all idiots, I needed something different. And now I'm married and I'm happy. And I need some, like, I don't want to listen to depressing music when I'm happy.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing we were kind of talking about last episode a little bit. Like, we've grown up because we're the same age as Taylor.
Yeah.
We grew up with her. And I like that we're growing together. So she's going through things and now I can relate to her as a grown up versus a kid. So I don't go back to Debut and Speak Now as much because I'm like, I'm not in that.
I go back to Speak Now every once in a while.
Yeah. I have some Speak Now that are my still like top favorite songs, but it's more like nostalgia now. But at the time, like, this was our lives. Like, this is what we were living in. So I like now Tortures Poets Bar Man again. I like it, but I couldn't relate as much because I'm like, I am not
there
like,
anymore.
Eating life. I'm not there. Like you are, Taylor. But it's a very good album. Tortures
Poets would have been great for me like about 10 years ago.
Yeah, you can really vibe with it. But that's why like one thing I had found interesting just looking up things about her albums. Like, she has Lover, right? Mm-hmm. Which is love songs in theory. However, I like Reputation better. And I saw someone make a comment where they were like, Reputation actually has more love songs on it than Lover. And is a
I'm
more.
I'm not a fan of Lover. And I tried it. I didn't like it.
It's, you know what? And I was like, that's what it is. Lover implies it's going to be freaking Taylor. She always does this crap.
Yeah, she does.
It's going to be all happy and rainbows. And it's not. But Reputation has some of my favorite songs on there, including New Year's Day, which Robbie and I love. And it's just funny, too. Like, but just like you said, and Taylor said this in interviews, like, you go through your seasons and you find, like, you know what? I couldn't relate to this album, but now I'm a couple years older and you know what? Now it's my favorite because I can find more relatability to it. And that's, you got like 12 options, you know, pick one.
13. If
you
don't like the new one, we have 13 fine. Options.
Well, there's 12 that's official what it said. Albums.
Hold on.
But she doesn't Where have the 13 will be in the next one. But the one she just released is Taylor Swift 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Then what? Oh, they're including a live. They're including a live world tour album in this number. Oh,
okay. Because I'm like.
Okay. I'm like, so. This thing says 13. Mm. And then it's 12.
Yeah. No. But
12 studio out. It's 12 studio.
Mm-hmm. And one thing too, like, you know, she's like, use this era's tour and she's leaving these eras behind and she's starting a new era. I think that's interesting, and I'm curious what that means, you know, moving forward as far as... I assume it's more for tours, though, than anything, as far as what she'd focus on in the future. But
yeah, well, I mean, if she is now focused on getting married and having a family, that's going to change a lot of things. She's going to have to either decide to continue to do what she's doing and somehow figure it out with a child and a husband, or maybe she wants to slow life down. Maybe she's ready to back off... And just, still continue to give us music, but not to the extent that she did previously. Because some of these albums, I mean,
it's insane.
2006, 2008. Mm-hmm. Oh, she had a 4-year break for, or no, 2010. So every 2 years, 2012, 14, 17 was 3 years, then 19, less than a year mm-hmm. later, we got 2020, and then another 2020. Mm-hmm. 2022, 2024, like, and mm-hmm. then just a year in between Tortured Poets and Life of a Showgirl. She yeah. has been literally on the fast track since 2006 when she debuted her first yeah. album. Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes me feel so old. That was when we graduated high school.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, and she's now 36. How old am I? 37? Yeah, she's 36 years old. Or about to be 36 years old in December. She's 35. Mm-hmm. Going to be 36. Maybe she's ready to slow down. Maybe she feels the same way as us. She's like, you know what? I'm ready to just lay on my couch.
I mean, I wouldn't blame her.
I wouldn't either.
For sure. Yeah. Not at all.
I wouldn't either. And the problem is these younger generations are going to be like, no, we need more. We need more. I'm like, honey, she's been doing this for a long time.
There's like... 500 songs you can go back and listen to. And then even yes. in those songs, she releases like 10 different versions of it. So you have plenty to listen to.
And then you might have the original album and then she releases another album with like 6 more songs on it. It's
yeah. She does the In the Vaults and all that crap. And I'm just like, I can't keep up with this.
Disney. Like this, she is a she's Disney personified.
She loves
vault songs and things. I'm like, you are literally Disney.
I just
have a love-hate relationship with you.
For real. Because, I was looking through it, and I'm just like, I mean, what is this? You know, you just, looking through her list, and I'm just like, where the crap did this come from? You just got this other,
Yeah, well, she re-released 2 albums in 2021, Fearless and Red. And all of a sudden, there's yep. even more extra songs on than the extra songs she put on at yeah. the time. Same yes. thing with 89, same thing with Speak Now. I'm like, what are you doing to me? I just want your normal album. Stop it.
Yeah. There's so much music. So I'm like, we're good. We're fine for a little while, I promise.
Yeah.
There's plenty of options.
We can let her breathe. Let her plan mm-hmm. her wedding. Let her have her fairy tale moment. I hope they don't do, I hope they, I know they're not saying when their date is. I hope that stays a secret. I hope everything just stays in a bubble and that we don't know it happens until a month after.
I mean, she didn't announce her engagement right away. I mean, she's very.
Well, there's going to be a ring on her finger. We're going to know.
I mean, but I'm just saying, she got engaged and no one knew about it for a month because she didn't want to share it yet. So,
I thought you said she said it right away.
No, she did not. She got the day she recorded the podcast, they got engaged and then they didn't announce it for weeks.
Yeah.
But she told everybody else.
I know, but I'm praying that the paparazzi and the trollers and mm-hmm. all the things, they don't find out that everything stays secret.
She has a lot of money and a lot of loyal people to her and she can definitely afford lots of security. To get rid of everybody. That she can do. For sure.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because even Jason's like, when's the date? And Travis is like, what are you doing? Shut up.
Leave me alone. He's not going to be the first to know. I mean, seriously.
Oh, I know. But, brothers. Mm-hmm. They rag on each other.
They are very funny. Yeah.
All right. Anything else about Eras Tour? I'm an hour late than what I told him.
Oh, really? Sorry,
Brett. Because we didn't start right at 9, and then we kept talking in between.
And then we got distracted.
We did. He hasn't banged on the door yet, so I don't think he's that mad at me.
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten any texts, so.
No, because mine would come through on my computer if I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. But I'm good, I think.
All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us, Swifties and Pixie Dusters, for our musical month of artists. We only did 3, but there's a lot more, so hopefully we can do more next year. I believe we're not doing anything December, correct? We decided on that?
We have no plans.
Okay.
So December
will be a break. We'll be back 1st of January with our New Year's episode. Hopefully Dan will be back at that point.
Yeah.
What we're doing next, I have no freaking clue. So you're just going to have to wait till January to find out.
Something.
Yes. I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes. And we'll see you in 2026.
See you in 2026.
Yikes.
2026. You know, that's 20 years from when we graduated high school.
Why did you do that?
Because I had to suffer with someone else had to suffer with me.
I'm going to boot you from the.
No, you're not. Thing now. Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.